Welcome to Season 2 of History, Books, and Wine. We're your hosts, Lori Ann Bailey
and Eliza Knight. We love sharing, so pour a glass of vino and let's dive into the past. Today, we're excited to have a guest joining us, Vanessa Riley.
On this episode, we're going to have fun and talk about Regency era hijinks.
Yay! Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you, ladies. It's a pleasure to be here.
So happy to have you.
We're excited to have you.
Before we dive into this intriguing episode, what are we drinking today? Vanessa, why don't you go first?
Well, it's a little early here because it was a little late last night. So I just have an iced Americano, hazelnut latte, basically hazelnut infused with fat-free milk to make me feel like I'm not, you know, expending so many calories.
Oh, that sounds delicious. I love hazelnut in coffee. That's one of my favorites.
I'm not a hazelnut fan, but I love that you're drinking it out of a wine glass. So I just have to say that is super
It
Super
is.
Awesome.
It looks so pretty. You guys can't see it, but it looks really nice.
It does. I like that. I'm going to have to try that.
A wine glass elevates
it
everything.
It does. It really does.
I even put my seltzer water in my wine glasses.
Me too. Yep.
Excellent. Yep. Ladies after my own heart.
But today I'm going back to one of our favorites or one of I know it's one of Eliza's favorites too, and it's a Josh Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon, and it's the one that they do in the whiskey barrels, which sometimes I am in the mood for those and sometimes I'm not. So apparently today I'm going bourbon barrel wine today.
Does that let it be a little smoky?
It does. It's pretty yummy.
Good choice.
Thank you.
Today I'm trying something I've never had before. It was given to me at Christmas from my brother and his wife. It's called Newton Skyside. And it's a Cabernet Sauvignon from California.
Yum. And it's always better when it's a gift. Yes.
Yes, I agree.
So we're going to dive right into our questions here. Vanessa, your book, Murder in Westminster, takes place in Regency London and features Lady Abigail, who is thrust into a murder mystery and has to navigate through London society to prove her innocence. Can you tell us more about how the ton functioned and what is important for us to know about how people of different ethnicities were viewed and treated within its ranks?
And of course. Sometimes there's a misconception of Regency, and you know, I fault Pride and Prejudice 1995 because you know, we all fell in love with Colin Firth and Elizabeth Bennet and all these wonderful images, but it shows what's the right way to say this? They don't black
people
in it.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a very white existence in that version.
You know, there's my favorite scene. One of my favorite scenes in the movie is Colin Firth is all sweaty, you know, as Colin does.
Yes.
And he's looking for Lydia and Wickham, and a little boy comes out with his tankard of ale and gives him, you know, refreshment so he can continue his search. But on that particular street, where it's situated in London, where they were hiding, you should have seen someone of color on that street.
Right.
There were 10 to 20,000 free blacks living in London during that time frame. So it wasn't unusual. And it's also why Jane Austen's very last book, Sanditon, the wealthiest woman in the book is a woman of color from the islands. So there's a whole piece that's missing that was actually very vibrant and part of the culture. It's one of the reasons, you know, London is the epicenter for abolition movement because there's so much blending of the cultures and people working side by side and realizing that enslavement is wrong and that people need to look at things differently. It doesn't mean it was a utopia. You know, crazy people gonna be crazy people. People with issues are always gonna have issues. And when you throw in money and class, you're gonna have a whole bunch of extra fun. And that's sort of why I love doing this series, Murder in Westminster, because I'm showing you, if you kind of take this and Dynasty, and you throw it back into the Regency. I'm bringing you that in Murder
West. Yeah, it's a lot of great conflict in there, too.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have the conflict because, you know, our heroine is an amateur detective. And I love an amateur detective. That means they get stuff wrong all the time, which I totally love it. But Abby is a woman of privilege, and she knows she has privilege. She saved her husband's bacon on some crime that we'll find out later on in the series. I really want 30 books in this world because I think there's enough foolishness to keep us going 30.
That would be fun.
But she saved his bacon, and now she's got money. She has a title. She's a baroness. And she has influence with the magistrate because she helped him solve these different crimes. So we've got a woman now. Despite or in spite of her color, she has access and power. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want to sit back and let it go to waste. So she wants to be active in the movement because this year in 1806, for us history buffs, is the year Haiti becomes a free country. Mm-hmm. And one of the oddest things I found in my research was that all the abolition movements in the world stopped. It's kind of like, we were wait good with y'all being free. But now y'all want to run something? Oh, hell yeah. And so the founders of, you know, we know Wilberforce, we know Elijah McCauley, we know all these greats that were pushing. They're all sitting on the sidelines, not knowing what to do. And it takes a while for the movement to recover, for everybody to figure out, you know, the world has not changed that significantly. You just have one country, you know, rising up and doing the right thing. And maybe the rest of the world can follow.
I like that. Hey, history lovers, Eliza here. We're interrupting today's happy hour to let you know that Lori and I host another fascinating podcast with our friend, Brenna Ash.
Hey there, this is Brenna. Crime Feast is a true crime podcast hosted by three friends who are obsessed with all things crime.
Each week, join Brenna, Eliza, and I as we serve up a platter of murders, mayhem, missing persons, tragedies, and more.
Feast on notorious tales ripped from today's headlines and resurrected from the past.
Until then, stay safe out there. We don't want you on the menu next.
Now, back to the show. Cheers!
So in your book, Lady Abigail attends a pro-abolition meeting, but can't use that as her alibi during the time of the murder. Why was it important that her attendance be kept secret?
Well, once again, the movement is underground at this moment in time. Wilberforce is literally, they're meeting in churches and they're trying to figure out what to do because the everything in Parliament is stopped. And, you know, there, unfortunately, there is some animosity. Some people are being threatened because you're now siding with people who killed all these brutal plantation owners. So it's a dangerous time frame. And so if she says she's at this meeting, it means that people are still meeting, which will give Wilberforce's his cohorts. It will let people know they're still actively moving. And those who are against the world becoming freer are going to try and stop him. So she does. This woman who's trying to get the abolition started can't be the cause of the abolition movement getting another setback. So that's why, you know, it's kind of fun. So now she really has to solve this mystery because she can't go down for it because, you know, it's the first murder. And this is not a spoiler because this is, you know, how the book sets up. The wife of her curmudgeon, slightly sexy next door neighbor.
I love the slightly sexy part of
you know, one of those brooding, slightly sexy, you know, military heroes. Is retired, he's next door, and his estranged wife is found dead on the fence that he had erected between their two properties. But she's dead on Abby's side of the fence.
Oh, no.
And the two neighbors have been fighting because of their dogs, you know, and he's got these two well-behaved greyhounds. She has a terrier that was given to her, and she believes those two greyhounds are terrorizing her terrier, Tika.
Aww.
It might be the other way around.
Yes,
this dog is not trained. This dog is a little terror. This dog is little, and that's what I love it. Tika, come on.
Oh, that's, I love so how cute. You work dogs in
so
there.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So the, you know, so Stapleton Henderson has set up a fence between the two properties because this will keep the dogs apart. And one night, dogs are going crazy. They're in their usual muttering selves, and they go out there and they find this body. So he, the husband always did it, right?
That's the
logical thing. They were estranged, so there's more. But he actually gives Abby an alibi. Uh-oh. So he's lying to save Abby, but he's really saving himself.
Dun, dun, dun.
But now every time I hear dogs barking over the fence, I'm going to be thinking about this.
Be careful.
Yep. Don't go back there.
And take your phone recorder. So you have evidence.
It just in case.
So we have one more question on the history of the pro-abolition meetings. And how were they useful during the abolitionist movement? And who would attend these meetings?
You would have politicians of the day attending these meetings. You would have reformers from the church. Oftentimes they met in basements of churches and whatnot. You get some of the greatest writers like Hannah More. She was a big abolitionist. And they would write these pamphlets and they would circulate around. So she was, and Hannah More is actually a fascinating woman. I think legend goes that she was engaged to somebody and he broke it off. She sued him.
Oh, that's interesting.
And got enough money to live. She won and got enough money to live independently for the rest of her life.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, go girl.
Okay. I mean,
she's an amazing woman. But she's a friend of Wilberforce. So these are the types of people who are going. So they're people of conscience, people, politicians, because they're trying to figure out which side of the aisle they should actually be on. Mm-hmm. And then you have people like an Abigail, so Adwillo. There's some famous abolitionists, blacks as well as whites, that are in the mix. They go to these meetings, and 1806 is just, you think the world is starting to go the right way and everything stops. So it's a fascinating year to start Abby series.
That's interesting.
It is.
Lady Abigail's marriage was not a love match, which we know a lot of the times they weren't back then. How were marriage bargains struck during the Regency period, and how common was it to be allowed to have a love match?
As a romance writer, it was very common.
Yeah.
Very, very, very
so common. Anytime we want.
So common. We can write about it anytime. Yeah,
we can write about it. Or you do Duke math, right? So there was only like 28 Dukes and only two were hot. But we got 10,000 books.
Oh, yes. There's so many hot Dukes back then.
10,000 books on Duke. So if you
there are plenty of Dukes to go around.
So all you need is 28 couples that actually married up, and then you've got all our books to be right.
Yeah.
It really depends. Sometimes, parents, during that time frame, a woman's economic means was solely dependent upon this marriage match. Or if her family was fortunate to be in the right mindset to leave her access and money, because typically through laws of primogeniture, the oldest son gets all the loot. And he is supposed to take care of all his siblings. Well, if he ain't exactly a nice brother, he can leave a woman stranded. So it behooved women to get married and to marry well. Mm-hmm. So marrying well was more than love. Love was great. Some people believe love came, through experiences, through, sharing a life with somebody, building a life with someone. But oftentimes it was a financial transaction. That's why you have extensive contracts. The dowry actually becomes the widow's dower, which is the money that the woman is paid if in the unforeseen problem or accident that the husband dies early. So all these things are ways to protect women. So marriage is incredibly important. And as my heart would love to believe that the majority of them were for love, a fair amount were economics involved. And in Abby's case, she saved Lord Worthing's bacon. He was going to get hung for a crime that has not quite been disclosed yet. Mm-hmm. But she solved it. And that has given her favor with the magistrate and, her godfather, who literally is a godfather.
That's awesome.
Convinced Lord Worthing that you need to do right by this young woman. And so hence she's married, but he's an explorer. He's gone all the time. So Abby is left to her own devices.
Ooh.
And so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. That is so fun.
I love these little teasers in here.
I do too.
Well, thank you so much for sharing those fascinating answers. Before we get into the next stage of our show, which is one of our favorites, three fun facts, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Hello, listeners. This is Lori. And I'm here to tell you that podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners. We use Buzzsprout, and it's hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories within minutes of finishing your recording. You'll get a great-looking podcast website, detailed analytics, and more. Following the link in our show notes, let's Buzzsprout know that we sent you. Get you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan, and help support our show. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. The team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed.
The first time I used Instacart was with my sister. We were baking cookies and I'd forgotten the butter. Instacart to the rescue. Now I even use it when we're on vacation so our staples are delivered right to our door. Save yourself that trip to the market. Instacart delivers groceries in as fast as 1 hour. They connect you with personal shoppers in your area to shop and deliver groceries from your favorite stores. Follow the link in our show notes, and that lets Instacart know we sent you and help support our show. Plus, you'll get free delivery on your first order over $35. There's multiple stores available in most areas. Shop all your favorites on a single order. The products you love from local stores. Hand-selected by shoppers based on your preferences. Delivery to your door in as fast as 1 hour. Instacart highlights deals to help you save money. Find everything you usually buy and get smart suggestions for new items. They pick the freshest produce and keep your eggs safe too. Let Instacart shop for you.
So why don't you tell us three fun facts you discovered during your research?
Three fun facts that I discovered during my research. And we're talking about just in general, right?
Yeah,
in
anything.
Any research.
Well, we already had the fun illusion of Hannah Moore, woman suing.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. Gaining her freedom.
Yeah, we got a bonus.
Bonus rounds. That they actually had prosthetics during the time frame. So you would have articulating knees.
Wow.
Replacements of foot. And sometimes they would be as simple or as crude, you know, from our lovely Western perspective, being a carved foot or appendage, all the way to where they actually strung catgut as muscles to make you know, move in. I mean, it sounds nasty.
Oh,
but,
wow.
You know, catgut was used for lots of things.
Yeah, it's better than not having a foot, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't know it was used for anything. That's so weird.
Yeah.
So I have to know more about this. Did they smell bad?
No, they treated them, so yeah, okay. There was no smell. But remember, everyone, that's another fun fact. You know, everybody kind of smelled back then a little bit.
That's why
cologne water was very, very popular because, you know, hygiene was special. You know?
Yeah.
Be like walking through the market and you're like, I smell cat gut.
Yeah, that would probably not be a good fit.
And lots of BO.
And last one, because you both are historical fiction fun, is that the British newspapers tell every bit of scandal.
Ooh.
Everything.
I love that.
If you're ever looking for any dirt, you type it in to the British newspaper archives. Okay, archives. I think that's the one I use. Unfortunately, it's a paid subscription, so you know they're not a sponsors of this show. They really need to be sponsors of History Books and Wine.
Right.
But you can find all kinds of scandals, and I have found some of the best dirt.
That is so fun. I need to do that.
That's a really great source for research and just story ideas.
Yeah,
story ideas and everything. So, like, I have a book coming out this summer in July called Queen of Exiles. And I found an affair between a queen and a prince that nobody knows about, or where they will know about in July.
That is awesome.
I love it.
I love that kind of stuff. I was at a market type place in Philadelphia once, and this used bookstore that was set up there had like this thick giant book full of newspaper print copies of the newspapers from like the 17th and 1800s from Philadelphia. And I totally bought it, even though I've never written anything in Philadelphia, just for the fun of reading. But I've never read any of the English stuff, so I need to go look at that.
English stuff is amazing. And I may have been in Blackheath last March, and I might have gone to a bookshop, and I might have, you know, smuggled like $300 worth of books back into the United States, and they were all old and
that's so awesome.
Amazing.
Like that. So it might have.
Maybe you didn't.
I love it. And it's hilarious. I mean, we all write. It's like to hold these books in your hand that are like
it's really fun.
Years old, 200. I mean, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so amazing.
I love doing that.
A great feeling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, is there anything else you would like to share about your book, Murder in Westminster?
Murder in Westminster is the setup. So you're going to learn about Abigail Carrington Monroe, Lady Worthing's unique background and her circle of people, her circle of influence. And really, everything you're going to see in the next 30 books.
we hope.
It's all set in there. But Murder in Drury Lane comes out in October. And I'm currently working on Murder in Burr Square.
Oh, that is so fun.
Wow. You're busy. You have a lot coming out.
You do.
Yes. She's very prolific. I love it.
Yes.
I love it. And, you know, as long as the door is open, I'm going to shove as many books through that as possible.
Yep. Do it, girl. Do it.
Especially when you have such a fun series like that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you get to 30.
Yeah.
Yes. We need movies of Lady Worthing.
Yes. I would so watch that.
I would too.
So we're all writers, but we're also readers, and so we always like to know, what are you reading?
I am reading Spare. Actually, I just finished Spare.
Oh my gosh, me too! I'm listening to it on audio, because he reads it.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, yes, okay. So I ordered the hardcover. And then I was like, wait a minute, it ain't gonna come till 10 p.m. that day. So then I was like, let me get the electronic. So I got the electronic, and I was like, ooh, this is really good. And then I was like, you know what? I have an extra Audible credit. Harry has, if he, this Prince gig doesn't work out, he can really just do audiobooks.
His
voice is so luminous and it's full of emotion. And, part three, I think chapter 82 broke me. It was, man.
I'm only in part one. I think I'm on chapter 14.
Yeah. Yeah, but you'll know if it's either 82 or 83, but you'll know what I'm talking
about. I'll know when I get there. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I call it rich people's problems. It's champagne problems. Yeah, it kind of makes you on your beer pocketbook. It kind of makes you feel a little different.
Yeah,
but it's a very real account, and it wasn't what I was expecting. I guess I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was going to be that honest and that open. At least that's how he seems to me. Very honest, open. And you can see, I mean, as all of us, we write these deeper levels of POV and the hurt that these early wounds carrying through. And you can see how it manifests in every aspect of his life. I mean, it's gold. And I think as writers, I was talking to people, I dissect it two ways. I do it as a reader and I break it down as an author. And the prologue is fire.
Yes.
It sets up everything from like, if I ever do a prologue, that's what I want to deliver because it sets up the story promise. It sets up the reasons why, and then you go right into the journey.
Yeah,
but just the way the pacing of the parts also changes.
It's very gripping. Yeah.
Yep.
And so as he's telling pieces of the story, the pacing change. I mean, it's like, so there's a writerly perspective, then there's a reader perspective, and Spare's it, guys. Y'all should try it. There's a reason it's 1.4 million copies sold.
That's what I heard the first day, right? I highly recommend. I totally agree. Very gripping and emotional.
Yeah.
And I recommend the audio.
Oh, yes.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, totally worth it. So where can our listeners and your readers find you?
The mothership is VanessaRiley.com. I have links to my events, my newsletter, which I bought a creation I actually get out. and, you know, it tells you where I'm going, books that are coming up. Also has all my links to my socials. I'm very active on Instagram. I am there on Facebook. I'm moderately active over on Twitter. And I'm playing with the TikTok.
Okay, let's just put it out there that you are like a TikTok and Instagram reel like queen. Yeah. Like, she makes the best videos, and they're just fun where you're just like pointing like this. They're just fun. I like them.
Thank you very much. You see, after you stop writing at 2 o'clock in the morning, you got time on your hands.
Yeah. Oh, you're a night owl.
Oh. It's fun.
Yeah. That's great. Everybody has their creativity time period.
Yeah, mine's at like 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
7 to 10, and then I'm done.
You know, I'm coming down from the writing high, right? And you still got all this energy, and it's too much to go to sleep. So I'm like, let's just make some video.
Yeah. Well, you have to be able to, like, take it down a notch, you know? And videos are fun, and you're doing so good with them. So I think people love them.
Thank you. I our books need to get to the widest audience possible. And unfortunately, history is not something that a lot of people are naturally gravitate towards, because there's so much misconception, or they don't see themselves in it. And I think as all the different books that we write, we just need to get it out there. Let people give it a chance. And so you've got to be a fool on TikTok for a minute. Hey, what the hell?
I'm glad you're having fun with it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This was great.
It was really fun.
Oh, lady, and
I enjoyed
your
facts and sharing your story and the history behind it.
Yes.
My pleasure. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. So we hope you enjoyed today's episode with our special guest, Vanessa Riley. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the rest of this season's lineup. Coming up, we have a guest author, Shelley Noble, joining us.
We'll also have episodes about World War II rationing and digging for victory, Billion Dollar Princesses, and a special happy hour chat about some of our favorite period historical movies and television shows.
Yay. And maybe one day we'll be watching Murder in Westminster on TV.
I hope so.
That would be fun. That'd
yes. Be All right. Goodbye.
Thank you.
For more information about today's episode, click on the show notes.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HistoryBKSWine for additional historical tidbits and updates. If you like what you heard today, please leave us a review.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to check out our episodes published weekly on Tuesdays.
Until next time,
cheers
and happy reading.